Today on Real Radio.
There is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about this in a moment. We will be judged for our faithfulness, and he will give us rewards. And believe me, you're going to want every reward that you can possibly get. Here's the reason why.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from a section of chapter 5, where Paul tells us that we believers will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, we're going to have to give an account for our every word, deed, and thought. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series of lessons called When Jesus Christ Judges Us.
For the person that attends church, and they do attend church, they have no stomach for this. They don't understand when the Bible is taught. They don't understand when they read it. When they hear these kinds of things, they don't get it. It's Greek to them. It's foreign to them. It's alien. The Christian is saying, more Bible. Give me more. Give me more instruction. Give me more of the Scripture. Why? Because the Christian knows that the Holy Spirit that dwells within every believer is nurtured by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit hears the Word, takes it, and then nurtures that believer. And so right now, as these words go out and as these Scriptures go out, the Christian that's hearing this is saying, yes, it may sting, it may convict, but it is a necessary, what would we say, correction, adjustment, medicine? I heard this week in a conference that some preaching and teaching that's going on in America's pulpits, if it was a medicine, it would be too weak to heal anybody, and if it was a poison, it would be so weak it wouldn't kill anybody. That's a scary thought. These are strong things. Why? Because eternity's coming, and you and I as believers will stand before the Lord. And Paul says, my inspiration, and I hope it's ours, Paul says, my inspiration is this, to be well-pleasing to God. Look at that verse 9, it is awesome. The word pleasing means this, to be fully made agreeable to God, to be fully acceptable to God. It means to be well-pleasing to God in his thoughts and in his eyes. I like that meaning, church. That means the Lord, when he looks upon you, think about it. Those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, when God looks at you, he is delighted to look upon you. He looks upon the Christian's life and he says, you are well-pleasing to me in the eye and in my thoughts, God's thoughts. Isn't that encouraging? Does that inspire you? It inspires me. Have people ever lied to you?
Yes.
Then this should encourage you. Have people ever let you down?
Yes.
Then this should inspire you. Has someone broke a promise? Yes. Then this should inspire you. Encourage you. Because God keeps his word and he says, well, you know what? He says things like this. Mark it down. Tattoo it on your forehead, or you're going to want this one. It's kind of big, though, so have a big forehead. Psalm 139, listen to this, verse 16 to 18. This is awesome. Let Jesus Christ be your inspiration because it's going to be part of our judgment in the end. Psalm 139, 16. You saw me, God says, before I was born. He's speaking to us, and the psalmist is responding. The psalmist says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Wow. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Before you were born, God had determined a life for you to be lived. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. Some of you, listen, not some of you, let me take that back. All of us need to be reminded of this.
Nobody loves me, Pastor.
That may be absolutely true, but God says right here, I am absolutely committed to you, and God says, I have good thoughts about you. Isn't that something? The fact that God exists alone is amazing to me. That should spawn in me worship, the fact that God exists. Think about it. Look how simple this is. Why should I worship God? Well, listen, he's God. He's to be your aim, and he's to be the reason, the passion, and the very reason for your life, and the, just his existence. The sky outside right now, the temperature. What's awesome about being a Christian is, man, it's hot. It's like 105 today. Hey, you can walk around as a Christian saying, thank God, man, this is as hot as it gets for me. There's no promise, you know, that there's a thermostat in hell and you can set it. Listen, thank God you're not going there, Christian. The hottest temperatures you'll ever experience in your life as a Christian is right here in your own hometown. And if you want to push it, you can go to Death Valley. But that's as hot as it gets. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. God exists alone should spawn worship in my life. That should be my inspiration to do whatever I do. Are you an engineer? That should spawn you to act as worshiper to God in your engineering. Are you a mother, a father, a husband or a wife? Are you single? Are you a student? Are you a missionary? Are you a pastor? What are you? Whatever you do, you should be doing it in an attitude of worship to God. Amen. And we'll see why that's important in a moment. But here's the reason why we need to pay attention to it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, great verse. You already know it. You probably already figured out I was going to go there. Ephesians 2, 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me paraphrase. Look at the verse. For we are his project that he established. He has the concept, the understanding. Listen, he's got the know-how. He knows exactly how you are to be finished off. He's the carpenter. And whatever we do, we've been created in Christ Jesus. That means it's all about him for good works. Listen, nobody gets to heaven by doing good works. This verse has nothing to do about heaven. It has to do with you and I living for God because we are already going to heaven and good works comes out of our lives. You don't go to heaven based upon your good works. You go based on what Christ has done for you at the cross and you put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. That should create good works coming out of your life. The book of Romans and the book of James do not contradict each other. They're perfect in harmony. Paul says you are justified before God in faith, by faith, positionally. James says if that's true in your life and mine, it will be lived out by the good works that comes out of your life, proving the fact that you have true faith in God. One you try to do and you'll miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between your head and your heart. The other one, you put your faith in Christ and the good works comes out. Big difference. Why? To exalt the name of Jesus. To lift him up. It's the word poema, where his craftsmanship, his poem. Isn't that a beautiful word? It carries with it tapestry or a woven fabric. God is at the loom, as it were, of your life, and he's weaving. Listen, everybody, this sounds silly, but it only sounds silly because we've become a very, very cynical culture. The word means that God is weaving everything of your life. He's got a plan. The best thing for you to do is let him weave it and stop goofing it up. He's got it. We can certainly confuse that plan in our lives. We can certainly delay that plan. We can certainly wind up in our life as a Christian being disobedient and never get the plan ever implemented in our lives. And we'll suffer the consequences for that before him. But the Bible tells us that we're to walk in these good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Meaning that the word implies that God has a pair of shoes for us. Tailor-made just for you. Well, E, D, 9.5. 12 and a half. I met a guy this week at a conference. He had 16-inch shoes. 16-inch shoes. He's 6'8". That's nothing. I've seen Shaq. Is that his name, Shaquille O'Neal? Right, Shaq? Have you ever seen his shoes? I've seen his shoes. Were they 20? What were they? Were they 21s or 22s? You guys, I've had 22s. I've had surfboards that are smaller than that. Just kidding. But it's amazing. He's like, that's a shoe. Listen, That shoe was made for Shaq. Nobody else in the world. Nike made it for him. If Nike can do that for Shaq, God says, please believe me when I tell you, I purposed a life for you to be lived that's tailor-made for you if you just let me implement it in your life. What's wrong with us? Why would we resist him? It's amazing. And so he has a tremendous plan. That should inspire us. Point number two in our study. We'll get a little bit, if not hopefully, through this point. When Jesus Christ judges us, verse 10, he will reward our faithfulness. Please write this down. I'm going to anticipate. You guys are third service. There's not much new that can happen. So I anticipate what you might ask, because first in service has already commented on this. Here we go. Jesus will reward our faithfulness. Well, Pastor, he doesn't have to do that for me. I'm just really happy to be there in heaven. And he won't have to do that. I'm just too humble. And he won't have to reward me. And why would you think that? What kind of thinking is that? You missed it all up. It has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with him going, oh, Gabriel, Michael, come here. Peter, James, and John. Look, there's Jack. I mean, oh, good job. Oh, let's reward him, shall we? It has nothing to do with that. What are you thinking? The Bible tells us, and we'll see it in a moment, that God is going to reward his children for what they were faithful about for his glory. The Bible says that we're going to receive crowns. Did you know that? Now, I don't need that. Well, just hold your judgment on that, because personally, I do. I want it. Here's the reason why. The Bible shows us that when we appear before God, we, my friend, are going to be awarded or rewarded. Our faithfulness will be evaluated in this life as a believer. And in that, God is going to give us his response. The Bible calls them crowns. Now watch this. You will not be walking around heaven. Let's say you were really faithful and you're, you know, kind of messed up about this. Well, I just want to be his humble little servant. Listen, if you like it or not, if you know it or not, you are already his humble little servant. So get that straight right now. Here's the deal. In the day of judgment, watch, before the Lamb's marriage feast that's in the book of Revelation, before that even happens, before we get to run around eternity forever, there is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about this in a moment. We will be judged for our faithfulness, and he will give us rewards. And believe me, you're going to want every reward that you can possibly get. Here's the reason why. God is going to give us by display of crowns. The Bible says that we are going to appear before the Lord after the judgment, and we're going to cast our crowns back at his feet. So watch this. You're gonna play that card. Well, I'm just gonna be a little person in the back, and I'm just. Listen, not me, baby. I want a gigantic one, and I'm gonna tell you right now. Look, you. It's like this. Oh. That's what I want. Here's the reason why. You're only gonna enjoy that for a second, but the fruit of it will be forever. Here's what happens. Are you ready? Book of Revelation tells us, well, I'll quote it to you in a moment, or I'll read it to you in a moment. We're going to be there in that moment, represented by the 24 elders, and it tells us that we're going to fall on our face before God, and we're going to worship him, and we're going to cast our crowns back at his feet. So watch this. You're going to be like this. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, I love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. Thank you for giving. Hello. It's not my crown. You gave me every opportunity and the ability to do whatever has been done through your name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And you're going to go down, and the crown's going to spill before his throne, and it's going to give him all the praise. It's going to give him all the glory. It's going to give him all the honor. And it all goes back to him, and it's going to honor him. And the last thing you want to do is have some thimble on the top of your head as you walk up there. No way, man. All to his glory. So you want to be faithful. You want to be fruitful. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Where does that concept, where does that verse come from? In Matthew 25, it comes from the judgment seat of Christ. When he evaluates everything that we've ever done. Listen, when the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, what is that all based upon? The judgment seat of Christ. When the Bible says, every idle word that we've spoken will be evaluated in the last days. I have words. God put them in my mouth, able to speak them. God says, we're going to evaluate how you used your breath to my glory. Your thoughts. Where did you let your thoughts go? Did you fight against this world's temptation and the temptation of the flesh and all this stuff? Did you fight? Or did you just go with the, gone with the wind? He's going to ask us this. The judgment seat of Christ. I want to show you a couple of pictures. These are terrible pictures because I took them. I don't do pictures. I'm terrible at it. But if you look on the screen, any moment now. This is Corinth, Greece. This is the real deal. In your Bible, when it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the word is bema, B-E-M-A, bema. This is the bema. That's it. That's the real deal. You guys, you see that right there? Look at it. Paul the Apostle saw that. Well, was it like it? That's it. That's the one. In the city of Corinth, that's the Olympic game location for that region of the Greek world. This is the bema seat. The top piece, you guys, if you can imagine this, see where the trees are at? Imagine columns and pillars right there going up. The winners would be in front. The crowd is where I'm standing with the camera. The bema seat. This is awesome because, watch this, everybody. There would be three awards given. Number one, in our culture, what is it? Gold for first, right? Is a gold medal winner a winner? The answer is yes. Is a silver medalist a winner? Yes. The answer is yes. Is a bronze medal recipient a winner? Yes. Watch this. This is so cool. The Olympic Games should remind you of your Bible and the day coming for you and I to stand alone before Jesus Christ. Why? Because it announces that the issue of the judgment seat of Christ deals with only believers. In other words, you're all winners. You've got salvation, okay? Done deal. But he's going to reward us based upon our faithfulness and our commitment to him. So how does a gold medalist become a gold medalist on the day of judgment? You respond to the opportunities. Watch, you respond to the opportunities faithfully. Stay at it till it's done. Third, with the right motive. Okay? Now watch this. So many of us are suffering from lack of engagement because we think like this. Well, gosh, I don't know if that was God telling me to do that or not. I don't know if I should do it or not. Well, what was it? I'll give you an example. A pastor came up to me the other day from Watts. You know Watts?
Yeah.
The place you don't go. And he said, hey, I heard your church is crazy. I said, yeah, they're pretty crazy. And he goes, crazy enough to pray about helping us in Watts? I go, well, yeah, tell me what's up. He goes, every Friday we feed these kids who basically have no families, really. The gangs are their families. And we started doing an outreach there a few months ago, and God's blessing it. And every Friday night we feed people, we give them the word, we do face painting and stuff, we give them the gospel, they get all kinds of food, and he said, well, we need help. And I said, well, let's talk. I want to know more about this. And I said, unless God tells us no, count us in. That's the way I respond to things. I've got ripped off too many times in life. Well, I'm going to pray about it. Pray about what? Pray about feeding kids who don't have families. Yeah, why don't you just go pray about that in the corner until some of them starve to death? No, I'd rather step out and then have God tell me, I didn't want you to do that. You understand what I'm saying, you guys? I would rather mess up doing a good thing than to sit out and miss a great thing playing it safe for me. And so he said, listen, this is what's been going on. I said, well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm Portuguese, but I look pretty white. Is it safe for me to go in there? And he said, yeah, because God's there. He gave the right answer. Yeah, God's there. Where would Jesus be if he landed at LAX? Where would he go? Watts. And he said, yeah. He says, pretty amazing what God's doing. He said, just recently we were feeding the kids and gangs began to form on the outer perimeter. And they were looking like this. And he said, he felt, he didn't know, who knows, but it's a drive, a thought that enters in your mind that's not you. And he said, I really believe God said, go and get a bunch of hot dogs and walk towards those gang members. He said, man, I got those hot dogs out. I put them on a big platter. And he said, I walked so they could see that they were just hot dogs. And he said, this is cool. He walks up there and he says, the guys were motionless like this. And he said, he got closer. And he said, the closer I got, the more comfortable I became. And he said, the more nervous the gang guys got. They're like, this idiot's coming all the way. And he walked up there and he said, hey, you guys been watching us. We're just taking care of the kids, feeding them. You guys want to have a hot dog? And he said that the eye contact, he said it looked like, he goes, it's the same feeling you get when you go down to the zoo and you look into the eyes of an animal. He said they were unbelievable. Another planet. And he held out the platter and he said they just stood there silently until one guy reached out and grabbed it like this, like it was loaded with chemicals and poison. I'm kidding. Hot dog. Anyway, he took the hot dog, and as soon as he bit it, the other guys grabbed the hot dogs. He said, just the other day since that event, they were driving down the street, 109th Street, I think he called it, 109 something or other. It doesn't matter. He said he got pulled over. I said, what for what? And he said, man. And I thought he was talking about a cop. And he goes, oh, no, I'm not talking about a cop. He goes, in that region of the world, you get pulled over. There's no cops there. He says, you get pulled over by the gang guys. I go, how do they pull you over? They go like this, pull over. I go, no lights? He goes, they don't need lights. They go like this, pull over. He said, we pulled over? And the guy walked up to the car, leans in. Are you that guy that's, listen to this, listen carefully. They do this at a park. The gang guy said, are you the guy that's heading up the thing that's going on there at the church? The church. The gang member called the park the church. That blew me away. And he said, yeah. And he said, listen, here's my number. Anybody give you any problem, you contact me. Keep doing it. That's awesome. So here's the deal. What do we do? Listen, Christian, because this is you. This is me. This is us. Watch this. In all of our life, here's what we do. We're Christians. He gave us breath. He gave us energy. He gave you the health to do something. Well, I'm going to have to pray about that. Here's what we have to do. Research, get information, get ready, get our shoes on, get all ready. If God doesn't want us to do it, he'll stop us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Jesus Christ Judges Us. It's actually a multi-part series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul declares that we believers will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When Jesus Christ Judges Us is actually a series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. We often tell you about our Real Radio Book of the Month, which is always personally selected by Pastor Jack. Well, this time, it's the one-year Bible, and we want you to be a part of it. And if you think about it, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.